Wealth isn't just about money. It's about the life you build and the legacy you leave behind. Welcome to Money Sense, where we've spent over 30 years helping people make confident decisions that reflect their values and build lasting impact. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And today we have a very special guest, Beth Jaworski, and she's a realtor. She's an associate vice president with Shorewest Realtors. And, you know, I just am such a big component, or I guess a fan, of real estate. And, you know, there was this time in my life where I was just struggling and trying to figure out how to make a little bit of extra money and trying to figure out where my kids should go to school. And so I would buy houses and sell houses. And I just fell in love with real estate. And I fell in love with the idea that homes are so personal. And now at the point of my life now, I'm looking at downsizing and going into a smaller house. So there's all these different avenues in life where you're young and you're trying to save to buy a house. And then you're all of a sudden you have kids and you're looking for good schools and good areas. And then you get a little bit older and you're wondering, okay, what's next? So I'd really love to cover that with you today and just get your opinion on what's really happening out there. And everywhere I look, it seems like they're building apartments, not condos. And so I'm just curious. And again, my guest today is Beth Jaworski, and she's with Shorewest. And Beth, what do you see out there in Milwaukee?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I agree with you. Real estate is a great investment. It has completely transformed my life, not only selling real estate, but owning real estate. I own my own single family. I own two duplexes myself that I rent out, a single family I rent out, another duplex with a friend of mine that we rent out. And it's really given me financial security.
Yes.
Which is huge. And so I am a big proponent of trying to get people to own their own home. It is such a stabilizing factor in so many ways for themselves, for their own financial security, right? You get a fixed rate mortgage, your taxes might change a little, but your payment is fixed. And honestly, for the community, where the community is full of homeowners, are much stronger communities than when you have absentee landlords and transient renters. Not that I have anything, obviously, against renters since I have my own rental property, but you need a mix. You can't just have a whole neighborhood or a whole block that is rentals, because that does change the feeling and the investment in the area. People who own their own homes are more likely to volunteer for neighborhood organizations, get involved. Whereas if they're renting, they're like, oh, I might not be here in 12 months, right? I might move on. So they're not as anxious to become part of the community and really get invested. And what we see, unfortunately, is what you are seeing, all these apartments. The Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors has tried and tried to work with municipalities. At one point, we took out a full-page ad in the paper talking about we don't need more apartments. But the municipalities are 100% hung up on this. You know, I live in Wauwatosa, and right now we have two big apartment complexes going in the village. I have not met a single person who is for that.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, what is our government doing to us, right? Why are they doing this? You're turning our country, our state, our community into a bunch of renters, and there's no stability in that. Plus, these apartments, you know, a little studio starts at $1,500 to $1,800 a month. The nice ones, like on the State Street Station, they're renting $3,200 a month.
Goodness.
Can you imagine, you know, to keep up with that? And that is honestly, all of those apartments are a big factor in why we have such a gummed up housing market right now. Because I have a list of people who would sell their house tomorrow if there was somewhere for them to go. They've been in their house 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. you know, as you mentioned, downsizing, right? Yes. We have the baby boomer population now that is all aging out, right? They don't need the big 4-bedroom, 2-bath home anymore. The kids are gone. They want to go to something smaller. They would like to go to a condo. So many people want a condo. They don't want to deal with the snow and the lawn care, but there's nowhere for them to go. Absolutely nowhere. I mean, I've been on Zoom calls with the municipality, with city officials. You know, they did task groups. I remember a few years ago, that was like right after COVID, so 21, 22. And honest to God, the people from the city said to me, oh, people won't pay $300,000 to $400,000 for a condo. I said, are you kidding me? They're going to sell their house for $400,000 to $600,000. They will happily pay $300,000 to $500,000 for a condo. They don't want to pay $2,200 a month in rent.
Right.
That's what they don't want. And that's why they're not selling. So the Caroline, which actually is not condos, those are apartments in Elm Grove, but very well done. That actually loosened up a little. You know, I have 5 past clients in the Caroline, and they just opened this year. In 2025, because finally it was like, okay, we're not going to get a condo. This is a community that we could see living in. They can still walk, right, in Elm Grove. There's restaurants and shops there. They're right by the medical college. They're right by Wauwatosa. I mean, they're literally half a mile in, right, on Watertown Plank. So that opened up a little, but these big apartment complexes that they're putting in, you know, are not what the baby boomers are looking for in any way, shape, or form. No.
I think you said one of the key things, they can walk to everything. And I think of myself, I'm that baby boomer and I'm looking and I happen to live downtown in a condo and I absolutely love it. But I tell my clients, live where you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, live where you want to play.
Right.
And it gets to be very difficult as a single person or as a couple thinking that eventually one of them is going to pass and not being isolated in a house and finding some place to live. It's really a challenge, just as you said, trying to figure that out because I don't want all the grass. I don't want all the cutting, you know, worrying about the house and new roofs and all those different things. But yet I still want privacy. And I want to feel that I have a home and that it feels like me. And so it is a difficult, strategy. One of the things that we work with our clients on too, and just to mention, as long as we're talking about owning real estate, is that I often say to my clients, you can't eat your house.
True.
And so when you're selling and you're looking at the interest rates and the, and what the payments are going to be. I always say that I grew up with my parents, all they ever told me was pay off your house, pay off your house, pay off your house. But for now, we tell clients that it isn't bad to have a mortgage. And if you're working with a good realtor, they're going to help you with that and to understand what you're paying because you really can't eat your house. And so often we do have so many clients at the stage of the game that I'm at where their homes are paid for. And one of the things that happens is when they do sell their house and if they do downsize, they release a little bit of cash that they can use for their expenses and for living as well. And so often if a family wants to pass a house down to a child or to a family, which is what my parents insisted on doing. My father made my mother promise that whatever the house was worth, she would split it between the four of us. Which, you know, those are difficult things that parents say to kids, too. And my mother really needed that money for her health care. But I think a home is an important thing and to understand how it fits into your financial planning. And so many of the clients that we work with, they don't want to rent. They do want to own something. They just don't want a huge 3,000 square foot house or a 5,000, 6,000 square foot house when they raise their family. So how do you help people with that?
Well, I will get to that in 1 minute, but what you were saying earlier made me think of something that I always counsel clients and people don't really think about it. When their house is paid off or they have an immense amount of equity, right? Like
yes.
You said, they can't eat that equity. They can't use it to pay bills.
Or to enjoy life.
Right. But they also, if they fall into a bad situation, like you said, one of them passes away or they're diagnosed with a major illness or that, and now they need to access that equity, a lender is not going to give them alone at that point. So I learned years ago from watching financial shows that the best thing you can do is have a large home equity line of credit. And I always counsel my clients to do that. I have one myself with Great Midwest Bank. $40 a year I pay as like a maintenance
You only have to pay when you use it.
Exactly. Other than the $40 right. a year, which is nominal for peace of mind. So now I've actually used that to buy an investment property, a house mm-hmm. I own. You know, so that is another thing. You can use it for investments. Obviously, you do not want to use it for cars or vacations or dining out. But you want to have that line of credit available. So if you do need it.
Fund.
Right. Right. You have the access to it. And or if you have an incredible investment opportunity that you can use that. Same thing for the downsizing. Now transitioning into that, because the market is so tight and what the baby boomers are finding is they're competing against the first time buyers, right? They're looking for the same thing, that 1600 square foot ranch or little jewel box house, right? Cute little property, little lot, easy to keep up. That you've got the same competing people there, right? What's winning are the cash offers. And so if you have all that equity, get that home equity line of credit, you can buy a house for cash then and then sell your house, pay off that home equity at the closing. Now you own your new house free and clear. You didn't have to go through all the financing costs because to get a mortgage costs a lot more than to get a home equity line of credit.
Yes.
And again, it's not a home equity loan. People get confused with that, right? Because you get a home equity loan, you close now immediately. You have the funds and you're paying interest on it. You want a home equity line of credit because then you can tap into that credit when you need it.
I also just want to make a note. Thank you for bringing that up, because one of the things that we find with a lot of clients, and I'm just, it's a little bit off the subject, but with that home equity line of credit, if a client has a lot of money in an IRA and they need to spend money and they've been taking their required minimum distribution or taking money out, often if they have to take additional dollars out, it throws them into a higher tax bracket. Uh-huh. And so if they have that home equity line of credit that you're talking about, in that tax year, they could take out the money. They need a new car. Something has happened. And then they can pay it off in the following year. And now they've avoided that high tax increase.
Nice.
And so those home equity lines of credit really are important to have. And we also encourage our clients to have those. You don't have to use it.
Right.
But if
right.
you need it, and for a lot of clients, they don't have to carry extra cash on hand because they can use that. And
yes.
And it just works out really well. So
it's an excellent tool.
Excellent tool to have. So when we talk about these people downsizing and they're trying to look for the same house as the individuals looking for first time houses. One of the things I like about the idea, if they use that home equity line of credit, is that it also gives them a little bit of time to move. Because a lot of people will say to me, I've been in this house for 35 years or 50 years. I don't even want to think about cleaning it out. And then I look at them and say, and your kids don't either.
That's true. Very true.
And they're not going to know what's good and what's not good. And a lot of it gets thrown out. So it really makes a lot of sense for people that are thinking about downsizing or looking at that option to start looking at the things that they own. But doing it the way you suggested gives them a little bit more freedom of time to sell their house, move stuff into the new house.
Yeah.
And it's not as nerve-wracking.
Correct. And it also maximizes their equity because, as you said, a lot of people have been in their home 20, 30, 40, even 50 years. They've accumulated a lot of things, you know, maybe their furniture. Obviously, we live in a pretty frugal area, I think, right? If it's not broke, don't fix it. A lot of people have furniture that's, you know, 20, 30, 40 years old. And it may not make the house show as well, right? So what I offer to my clients is full staging. So we get them the new house. We get the old house completely cleared out. If we need to take down wallpaper, do painting, what have you. And then we stage it with the more modern Pottery Barn, Crate and Barrel, you know, mm-hmm. the type that appeals to the broader market. So it works so well all the way around. It takes less stress off of the client and it maximizes their equity. They get more money than if they're trying to show it, you know, with a 20, 30, 40-year-old estate. energetic, right? And full of all their stuff.
All people see then is dollar signs.
Right. Correct. Correct. And buyers will always double to triple the cost of any improvement, right? In their mind, if it's $10,000 for flooring, in their mind, it's $25,000, $30,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about a house being kind of ready to step into that people like that, what are the types of things that people should be looking at in their houses? And how would you frame that in terms of what the things that they can do that are very cost effective? And I know that I'm always looking for bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I like a fireplace.
Sure.
You know, there's things that are my must-haves, a big kitchen because I love to cook, master bedroom. What are the types of things that are realistic that people should be thinking about in terms of the must-haves? And it's going to be different, of course, with young children opposed to an older adult who's looking, again, who thinks about the best school is just costing more tax money.
Yes, yes.
And the younger generation says, I need the best school. So
are you asking me what are the things the buyers are looking for or what sellers should do to maximize?
Yeah, I think because I'm looking at the things that if I'm out looking for a piece of property at my age, it's so different than I was looking the first time. Mm-hmm. So what are the types of things that people should be thinking about, the must-haves and the reality
sure.
of those?
Well, it's interesting because schools don't drive the market the way they used to.
Really?
No, no. I mean, there still obviously is an influence mm-hmm. when you're in a premier school district. Like I live in the Lincoln Elementary School District in Wauwatosa. That's the number one elementary school. So, of course, every listing in that mm-hmm. school district broadcasts that it's in that district. But overall, it's interesting. Well, first of all, people are not having children like they used to, right?
Yes.
That's a statistic which obviously the government now is even trying to address. That's how much it's grown that people are not having children like they used to. Secondly, they are going to parochial schools. They're going to private schools. They're homeschooling. And I find a lot of younger generation, they want their children to be in with everybody. You know, they're not so focused on, oh my gosh, I need the top academic school mm-hmm. or that. Unless they have a child with special needs or special talents, you know, if they're a big mm-hmm. swimmer, obviously you have to have a school district that has a strong pool and swim team, you know, that type of
yes.
thing. But I find that is more and less important. There's still a segment looking for schools, but it is nothing like it was 20 years ago. Not even close. People are always looking for natural light.
Mm.
Always natural light. I mean, I'd say 9 out of 10 buyers.
But we never thought to ask about that when raising
they
kids.
They want natural light. First, with people aging and even younger people, I think because of the way that we push them with sports and mm-hmm. athletics, right? That nowadays they play all year. They don't get that time off. You're seeing people in their 20s and 30s, you know, with hip issues, knee issues, all kinds of issues. So that first floor bathroom and bedroom is important to people of all ages, not just people who are, you know, mm-hmm. 50 plus. You find younger people wanting that, or that even if they are fine, they're having grandma or grandpa come in to take care of the little ones, and they need that first floor bathroom. So that is huge.
And they can't go up and down the stairs.
Right, right.
Or don't want to.
Right, yep. So that first floor bathroom is huge. And if you have a half bath, everybody wants to know, is there room to make it a full bath? Is there a closet we can bump into or, you know, mm-hmm. so that is huge. People really want a two bath or more. You know, they will give on that if they have to. But bathrooms, as you mentioned earlier,
yes.
are huge. And having that first floor bath is very important. Everybody loves a kitchen. Of course, that's the heart of the home. So a great kitchen always sells a house. The other thing people are looking for, you know, garage is nice, right? You see more and more people having more and more toys. So, you know, depending on in the older sections, to get a two car is great. Newer homes, you better have a 3.5 car garage, right? The subdivisions that are mainly 3-car garage and then they have some with a 2-car, those are hard houses to sell. Everybody wants that 3-car garage. Mm. And then you've got places now with 6 car garages, 8 car garages. You know, that's not as unusual as it used to be. So garage size is important. Energy efficiency. It's interesting because people didn't used to care that much about windows. I would say, you know, now people are much more conscious of windows. People will sometimes ask the R factor, which they never did before. Mm-hmm. Utility bills, you know, people will ask for, wanting to know, because they've had friends or family or they themselves, right, have been in a smaller home with $500 a month wee energy bills, and they don't want to go back to that.
When you're talking a little bit earlier about what kids are looking for and how different it is than when I was, some of these things I never even thought about then. But what I'm seeing is that a lot of our clients, they aren't looking for the big houses anymore. Right. They're not looking for the big expenses. They really want more experiences, and they want houses that are a little bit more, like you say, economical. They're looking at the heat factors. They're looking at a smaller home where their kids and their families are more condensed together rather than spread out. What's happening with these big houses? And that must be an issue.
Or even an issue down
the road, because these kids don't want to inherit their parents' houses.
Right, right. And it is an issue. You do see the larger homes sit more, right? They take a lot longer to sell. A smaller home in a good area is going to sell, you know, if it's priced right and marketed well, it's going to sell right away. Whereas if you are a big house, you know, 900,000, nice 5-year-old, 5-bedroom, 3.5-bath, right? That might take 3, 6, 9 months to sell, even in this fast-moving market. I do see some people, you know, I will say, like, we have a lot of foreign people come in for the medical profession. They like the big houses. They have children. They have visiting family. You know, people from out of the country, especially like Southeast Asia, India, they will have their family will come and stay for them for 6 months of the year or so. That's not unusual at all. So they are looking for the big houses.
More spaciousness.
Yes. They need, you know, 5 bedrooms is good. 4 is like their minimum, right? 5, 6 bedroom, bring it on, right? But you're right. The younger people, as a general rule, like the millennials, they don't want a big house. And as you said, I mean, the baby boomers, they had the big house.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what does happen with all of the big McMansions, you know, in 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's curious. My guest today is Beth Jorski, and she's a realtor. She's an associate vice president with Shorewest Realtors. And if you would like to contact her, you can do that at bjaworski@shorewest.com. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
It's tax season, and here's something you might not know. Ellenbecker Investment Group is home to a dedicated team of tax professionals who partner directly with our wealth advisors to support your full financial picture. We believe smart tax planning is an essential part of building true financial well-being. If you're ready for a more connected, more confident tax experience, head to ellenbecker.com. You deserve exceptional. You deserve EIG.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you would love to go to our website, ellenbecker.com, you will see that the show is right there on our webpage, and you can share it with your friends. I think these are really great strategies. We're looking at, you know, coming into spring, and people think about selling their houses and where should I go and what does it look like, and do I get a mortgage? Do I pay off the house? I mean, these are all things that we sit down with our clients and talk about. But it's really great to have a solid team in place that you trust that's going to really give you good advice. My guest today is Beth Jorski, and she is a realtor with Shorewest. And we've been just talking about all kinds of good things about houses. And I love having conversations about things that I'm so interested in. And I grew up in Milwaukee, and I've lived in Mequon and Elm Grove and Wauwatosa and out in Lake Country. I love houses. And, You know, I always say to my kids, wherever I am is home. And I love to cook and make soup and have all that in my kitchen, the smell of the house and the smell of the kitchen. I remember when I sold my house, my mother would always say, put an apple pie in the oven, put an apple pie in the oven. So what are the strategies? Mm-hmm. Is it the apple pie that's going to sell the house, or what should people be thinking about?
Well, it's interesting with selling. I mean, smell is huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, smell is very, very large. You have cooking odors that maybe aren't as good as apple pie, right? Or pets. Or heaven forbid, smokers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those are tougher homes to sell. So obviously having a good smelling house, fresh smelling people. And I will also back this up with, please do not use any plugins. You will drive buyers right out the door. I mean, first of all, they can trigger a migraine in people, right? They're so strong. And secondly,
what are you covering up?
That is exactly what goes through everyone's mind. What are they covering up? You know, so you're better off to have a slight odor of dog and let them realize, okay, I got to deal with this than yes. having these horrible plugins. Do not use them. Fresh paint is always your best friend when you're selling, you know, painting rooms, painting your front entry, your front door. Anything like that, going through the house, touching up any baseboards.
People like it to feel crisp.
Yes.
And
exactly.
clean.
Exactly. Exactly. And then secondly, light fixtures are transformative. And it's very inexpensive, right? You can spend $50 to $100, get a decent, nice light fixture. Make sure that all your light bulbs are the same. You'd be surprised how sometimes you go in, one room is cool, one room is warm, and that does not work. Buyers like houses that flow. Same thing then with flooring. If you have carpet, you know, most people like a hard surface now. But if you do have carpet, you do not want to have one room brown, one room tan, one room blue.
Green.
Yes, yes.
Or orange.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. You still see that rust. 70s carpet. But buyers like it to flow. So they like the, if you're going to do anything with flooring, which also is a great update, you want it to be cohesive and for it to flow. They don't like it broken up that every room has different flooring. Mm-hmm. So those would be the biggest things would be painting, light fixtures, flooring, you know, in the kitchen, obviously, sometimes you can do a little refresh with paint, light paint your cabinets, get new hardware, maybe a new countertop and sink and faucet, right? And all of a sudden it looks like a new kitchen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all refreshed. So you don't want to get too carried away. You know, if you're doing a gut and remodel, you're not going to get your money back. You only are going to get a percentage. So I always tell people, if that's what they want to do, do it now so you get some enjoyment out of it. Don't do it right before you sell because you're not going to get it all back. When you do paint, flooring, light fixtures, you get 100% and then some back.
Yeah. And bathrooms, clean bathrooms.
Yes. Well, clean is huge.
Yeah.
A house can be completely outdated, but if it is immaculate where you could eat off the floor, people are still going to want that house because it shows care and attention, right? Yes.
Good bones and been taken care
mm-hmm.
of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cleanliness is huge. I mean, decluttering and deep cleaning are the two number one things you can do. You know, mm-hmm. that's if you do nothing else, do those two. When you're buying, you know, it is still so competitive. If you're over 800,000, yes, you probably are going to have some options, right? You can maybe even negotiate, you know, especially if you're over a million in a lot of markets, there's an excess of inventory. Then you can, you know, play around a little. But the average person is looking 300,000, 400,000, 500,000, 600,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of cases. And guess what? That's the majority of people. So you're competing all the time. So when you're going to look to buy a house, you really want to interview some agents, sit down and talk to them, you know.
And be ready to buy.
Yeah, well, that too. But, you know, make sure that you have a rapport with the agent and that they understand the market, that they're active in it. They don't necessarily, you know, if you're looking to buy in Pewaukee, they don't necessarily have to have sold a whole bunch of houses mm-hmm. in Pewaukee. But if they are selling 3-4 houses a month, they understand what's going on. They know the tips and tricks because the offer is, what, 11 pages long, right? There's a million different contingencies. There's a million different ways to structure an offer. And I want to cry for some people, you know, when I'm a listing agent and I see these offers come in and it's like, are you kidding me? It would never be accepted the way it's written. Never, ever. And these people keep trying and they don't understand, why am I not getting a house? And it's like, well, unfortunately, it's your agent. They don't know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody deserves to start somewhere. But when you're looking to buy a house, you don't really want to start out with someone who, you know, hasn't sold anything ever. You want someone who is active in the market, who can counsel you as to what you need to do to make your offer competitive. And then that ties into, like you said, be ready. I cannot tell you how many people I work with, you know, they got an 800 credit score, they've got 200,000 down, they have a great job, they make, you know, 300,000 a year. What do I need to get pre-approved for? They still want a mortgage, right? But, oh, I don't need, I'll be pre-approved, no problem. Well, guess what? If you own your own business or you have investment properties, you have multiple sources of income, they can't pre-approve you in 2 hours.
Right.
You know, that's not like a straight salary person with nothing else, right? They can pre-approve you in 2 hours. But so you want to get your ducks in a row and make sure you have everything lined up. And a lot of times if you're in that position, you probably don't need to make your offer contingent on financing, but you need to understand what that means, have your proof of funds available. What are your options even for proof of funds? Because you do have multiple options in how you can provide proof of funds with the offer. You need to understand with inspections, right? You know, unfortunately, a lot of people waive inspection, home inspection to get a house. We hate that. you know, no agent wants that because there's things we can't see. You know, I've been doing this for since 1992, so I've sold literally thousands of houses. I can tell a lot, but I can't, I don't have x-ray vision, you know, with your electrical box. I'm not taking off the cover. I can't tell if these breakers are double tap. I'm not getting up in your attic. I can't tell if there's fungal growth up there because of lack of ventilation. You know, there's certain things I just can't.
Right.
I can counsel
and
on a lot.
That's very important.
Right, right. And can be big ticket. So you have to decide with that, where's your threshold? There are things you can do where you can still have an inspection contingency, but make it more attractive to the seller than just having a blanket inspection contingency. So your agent should be discussing that with you well ahead of time. So when you're at first walk through a house, you know if that's the one that you can make an offer, and you know what all these different strategies are that you can utilize. And obviously, one house versus another, you might use a different strategy, right? First of all, for the way the property is, what are the ages of the mechanicals, et cetera? And secondly, what about the seller? Because that is also a huge thing. Your agent should always be contacting the listing agent before you write an offer to find out what is important to that seller. You know, if it's a vacant property, they normally want to close quick. And a lot of buyers in today's market can close in 14 days.
Wow.
Yes. That's, I mean, I do that all the time. All the time. I'd say at least half of my sales are closing in 14 to 18 days. Yeah. And it used to be 30 to 45 was the norm. So again, that goes back to having your ducks in a row, because you get better have them in a row to be able to close in 14 days, right?
And thinking that you know what the market is just because you've done something years ago. Like, I'm learning so much right now about things because I go back to what I knew and how I
Correct.
Did it. But the world changes.
Right, right.
And real estate changes just like every other industry.
Correct. And the market changes, and the market can be different in February versus August, right?
Yeah.
It's not the same market, especially in our area, in the Metro Four County, Milwaukee area. Spring, which really starts in January through April, is normally the high season. So it's a whole different market than if you're looking at, like I said, in August or in October, November.
And what about interest rates?
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect what people are looking at?
You know, I mean, it somewhat does, obviously. We don't have as many people, I don't think, locked into the low rates. Mm-hmm. There are some who are not moving because of that. But again, as we talked about, there's so many people who've been in their house 20, 30, 40 years. It's paid off, right? Mm-hmm. And as you said, we were raised to pay that mortgage off as soon as possible, make double payments, triple payments, any payment, right? You put two till that mortgage is paid. So that isn't as big of a deal. And actually, depending on how you look at the market, 25 to 40% of all purchases are cash right now in residential.
Really?
So it's not as big of a deal. Where it really impacts are those first-time buyers and the people who are really struggling to get into a property. Obviously, you know, a 6.25 rate versus a 5.5 makes a big difference into what they can afford, right? And rates are hovering right around 6. I think they went under 6 for like one day. You know, today I looked, I got a rate chart emailed to me. It was 6.125, you know, and we're not really supposed to quote rates because obviously it's all dependent on your credit score and your debt to income. So you may not get that rate, but looking
that's a
chart,
ballpark area.
Right. And no one who, you know, the Mortgage Bankers Association, the National Association of Realtors, all the pundits, no one really expects rates to come down much in 2026. You know, the government obviously is trying. They want, obviously, our administration wants a lower interest rate. But I don't know that that's really going to do anybody any good, to tell you the truth, because if rates come down, more people will enter the market and prices will go up because they can afford to offer more. And people make crazy offers. I mean, I can't tell you how many houses have sold 100,000 over asking. 4.25, they sell for 535. I mean, come on, right? And so that happens when money is cheap.
Yeah.
It's easy for people to do that. So that's not really going to help the housing market. You know, I think if they are correct that they stay right around 6, it's a good place to be. I mean, that is a very traditional mortgage.
12% and 13% interest rates.
My first place, I paid 8.75. Yeah. You know, and I was happy to get it because it was under 9.
Yes. Crazy. So what do you love about selling real estate?
Oh, my gosh. The people. There's no question. You know, it's a people business,
yes.
Right? You know, I was talking to a past client this morning. Actually, she's in a job where I was calling her about information for that. But I was thinking, oh my gosh, I have worked with them for so many years. I've done 8 transactions with them, you know, buying and selling their homes and the rental property. Then when her mother moved in with them, I sold her mother's house, you know, then they referred friends who now have bought, you know, a bunch of investment property. And just as so many, I do a pie day every Thanksgiving. I give Elegant Farmer apple pie in a bag because everybody loves that pie, right?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So I've got grandmothers, parents, and then the children, you know, will come in. I've sold all 3 generations and brothers and sisters and cousins. That's what I love, to see all the people, get to know all the people, and then to help them. I had a good past client of mine last year. I had sold his house when his sister moved here from Minnesota, and unfortunately, she passed away from cancer. And then, I mean, he just had a horrible time. His parents passed. And so this house was sitting empty. You know, he lived like a half an hour away, and he had 2 little kids. He's working, his wife's working. You know, when do you have time to deal with this, right? And so months and months went by, and all of a sudden one day he called me and he had me meet him out there, and the grass was literally like 4 feet high in the back. And I mean, and of course, all the stuff was still in the house.
Takes a lot of attention.
Right. And I was so overjoyed for him because I was able to bring in my landscaper, bring in my cleaners, bring in my stagers, my photographer. Literally within 12 weeks, we went from that meeting till it was closed and done.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another point. Can you tell my listeners, what do you provide? I mean, you've talked about staging and you had a landscaper. And do you, for some of these people who it's very difficult, the spouse has passed away, have people that can help pack up and sell things and really simplify the process, which is what we try to do at EIG with investing as well. We try to have those that team that can help our clients as well. It sounds like that's what you do.
Yes, 100%. And more and more, you know, every year it grows from 2 or 3 clients to 10 to 20 and on and per year where they're in that situation. Yes, so I do have trusted vendors and people who will come in, you know, whether it's that you want to have everything kind of packed up and sold, or if you just need help. I have an amazing woman, Holly, who will come in and just help you sort through everything, right? She will take some things maybe to the Ottoman Society or whatever to get it sold for you. She'll take things to other jeans. She'll take things to the dump for you. And she really helps people who have a hard time releasing all this stuff, you know, and prioritize, what do I really need? What don't I? And she will take it right out of the house, you know, that same day. So it's gone and it's, you know, out of sight, out of mind, right? It's so hard to part with it. But the minute it's gone, they forget about it and they feel better, right? Yes. And then, yes, of course, I have a trusted crew, you know, flooring people, painters, everything. So I really tell people, you know, if you're thinking of selling in 6 months, 3 months, whatever, don't think it's too early to have me out. I will help you walk through the entire process and make it as painless as possible, right? That's my goal. And then when we get down to it, yes, then I have a stager that I work with all the time. We will stage the property, professional photography, and then, of course, social media and internet promotion, and then we get it sold.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. My guest today is Beth Jaworski, and she is with Shore West Realtors, and she has been talking about real estate, and really it sounds like you have the passion. That's why I wanted to ask you, because those are the people that we want to work with, someone who really loves what they do. It's so much more, it's a calling, not just a job. And you creating all of these other resources for people really does simplify it. And I see in my own practice that the fact that we have our own tax team, the fact that we have our own people that we work with on estate planning, it does simplify it, but it also gives peace of mind. Yes. Because I know a lot of people don't know who to trust in their house. A lot of people don't want to have a lot of people come through. And so knowing someone, and when we bring somebody in, they know we vetted them. Mm-hmm. And the same with you. So they can feel comfortable with the people that you're working. And there's also someone that's got their back.
Right.
I think that's one of the most important things. Even when you're younger and you don't really know all the things you're doing, and when you're older and you think you do know all the things that you're doing, having someone that steps in and really can help you navigate these different issues is really great. And what would be the last thing you'd like to tell our listeners?
I guess it is that real estate still is a great investment. And even though the market is super competitive and moves so fast, don't be afraid of it. You know, you get a trusted professional with you and you'll be like, wow, this went a lot smoother than I thought it would. And you'll be so glad to be in your new place.
That's wonderful. And of course, those banking relationships are so important as well. Thank you, Beth, so much for being a guest. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a really great week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.